Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Paul Tonko, I guess there are many, many emergencies that are coming before the Congress, but when I'm thinking about student loan rates, this is very scary. Our kids are over their heads in debt. Some colleges are charging $60,000 a year. All my students tell me that they have student loans. And now we want to double the student loan rate unless something is done. What's up?
Right. Well, it's, I believe, another manufactured crisis in Congress. This could have been dealt with straightforwardly, but games are being played to, and that puts students at risk. The student debt really saps our economy and certainly prevents small business growth and serves as a huge barrier for our young people. Their debt accounts for more debt than credit cards, Alan, or auto loans, totaling almost $1 trillion. So it's something that has to be resolved. You know, what we want to do is meet the July 1st deadline and extend the student loan activity so that the rates stay at 3.4% and not be doubled to 6.8%. Now, the GOP plan, which was dealt with earlier and is unacceptable, I believe, in the United States Senate, is bad for students and bad for our economy.
What do they want to do?
Well, their plan would cause students to pay almost $2,000 more in interest rates than if we did nothing at all. As I said, we're trying to avoid the rate increase from 3.4 to 6.8%. And the nonpartisan CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, which does a lot of pricing and forecasting on the cost of bills, estimates that the GOP plan would cause interest rates to settle somewhere in the 7.7% range. So I think that what we have here is a crisis that is manufactured by Congress simply because people don't want to put the students first and won't come to the table and negotiate a final settlement. This whole saga here in the House of Representatives is all about denial, not wanting to deal with issues, and just messaging out there with some very divisive, hateful messaging that is not resolving anything other than drawing a deeper gap between the various parties in the House.
So help me understand. I'm trying to get myself around the Republican, as you describe it. You're a Democrat, of course, but as you describe it, the Republican approach to this thing. Are they doing what? Shilling for the banks?
Trying to privatize the situation and take it away from a government program, and they're claiming that the private market force will be a savings for students. When in fact, CBO has measured this. They have priced it out. And they're indicating it's at 7.7%. So here you're taking something where, 66%, I think, of college students, it was recently measured, have federal loans at the time of graduating. And that's averaging $26,600 in debt. So now they just want to cause another $2,000 more in interest rates. This is not resolving a problem for students. It's making it even worse, and it's for our it's a worse thing in our economy too, because of the pressure on these individuals and their families. So I think this is a really neglectful bit of response here by the House of Representatives, and we need to come together soon, because the doubling of the rates from 3.4% to 6.8% will happen come July 1 with no action taken.
And why is that? That's a sunset in the existing law?
Yeah. We had reauthorized it, I believe, last year. We came to the midnight hour again and got wise and did the right thing. I don't know if the same will be true this year. There's this growing number of people who are either, in this Tea Party mentality or somewhat paralyzed by it and threatened by it. So with a number of forces being added in that category, it's very difficult for people to do the right thing and get the most logical outcome, which is reauthorizing the program, keeping rates at 3.4% and not allowing them to rise to 6.8%. This is a huge issue in our society, and we need to make higher ed more affordable and we need to provide for these student loan programs.
I wanted to talk to you, Paul, if I may, about abortion. I noticed in the papers that the Republicans in Congress have sort of reverted to type and made a very restrictive approach to when a woman can choose to have an abortion. Can you tell me something about that?
Well, you're very accurate when you say it makes it more restrictive. You know, at just the other day, I mean, the day before the bill hit the floor, they were still talking of restrictions for rape and incest. And you know, not acknowledging some of the dynamics out there. And what's amazing is that, you know, you find most people asking why. Why are we raising this issue at this point in time when you have student loan activities going on, you have a budget that needs to be put together, you've got a number of issues that are very serious about making us competitive in a global race on innovation, and we're going back to a decades-old issue and coming up with narrower situations from the majority and trying to reverse the messaging where they're going to penalize these people who are brutalizing women, young women, and seeing it as, you know, almost criminal behavior.
So why do they do this, Paul Tonko?
They
do it because they have to go back to their conservative base, the very few people who vote in primaries, and they're worried about getting, you know, getting beaten?
Well, again, I think you've got this very extreme thinking element within the majority. And that element has the district, have the districts to reinforce the thinking, that kind of thinking. They have a very conservative constituency, and they will keep messaging. And Speaker Boehner, I think, is in a dilemma here where they keep messaging to the right, extreme right, and threaten a primary if you don't go along with them, and then threaten further with deep pockets to support that primary. So, you know, people get paralyzed by this whole thought, by this whole political theater that's going on in the majority, and doing things that are, you know, weren't on people's radar, doing things that are taking it back to a much more conservative outcome, and doing things that are not with the pulse of the public out there, and avoiding doing the real business at hand, which is about developing jobs, creating a final outcome for the budget, and making certain that issues like student loans are addressed and the implementation of the Affordable Care Act is implemented.
Okay, but I wanted to ask you something, Paul. From a political standpoint, forget about, you know, the merits either way. Certainly we know from the last election, the presidential election, that the Republicans were going in the wrong direction from the mass of American women. So doesn't this, in fact, alienate even more women?
It does. I think it takes, I mean, a number of their actions on the abortion issue alienates women. I think their comments about the immigration reform are alienating our newest entries of immigrants, Asian populations and Hispanic. But they don't seem to care. They will go out there with this spin that is putting their entire caucus in a kind of an awkward political situation, but they don't seem to care. They just want to message on their own in a way that provides for, you know, very extreme thinking. But again, they have the districts at home to reinforce this. And in most cases, they're relatively new, so there's no, you know, there's no reinforcement from the majority leadership to threaten, you know, their leadership assignments or what have you. So it's a perfect storm in that caucus, and it makes for very difficult negotiations on every bill.
Congressman Paul Tonko, we always love it when you're with us. Good luck down in Washington, and we'll talk to you again real soon. And I want to come back and talk to you about something you just mentioned, which is immigration.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Alan.